clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Man, that sounded way better than yesterday. I ain't kidding you. I was struggling yesterday. Guess what's next Wednesday, Miss Lacey Swope?
Hey, next Wednesday?
Wednesday, yeah.
The first day of fall.
Come on, help me out. You know, there's more.
The cold front?
No.
Before next Wednesday?
Yeah, next Wednesday.
The 22nd?
Yeah.
I don't know, Jimmy. What is it? Those are the two big things. What else is there?
The goddess Persephone returns to the underworld where she is reunited with her husband Hades. It's equinox.
Really? Well, that's what I said the first day of fall.
Yeah. You got to be more detailed on this show.
I didn't know all that. You've already taught me something new.
Yeah, see? You've taught us a lot of things since you started coming on the show, and we're trying to pay you back.
I do not know my Greek mythology, apparently.
Yeah, so anyway, I just learned it this morning. you Google equinox myths, and that's one of the first ones.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Listen, that's news you can use right there.
Yeah, and you also know that the farmers, most farmers, not the new college-educated ones, but the old ones, they don't like planting on equinox because, you know, the myth is, the Farmer's Almanac myth is that, you know, it could rain or it could not rain, but they're not willing to take that chance that day to plant their crops because they don't want them washed out.
Really?
Yeah. You being the weather lady, you should know this.
I need to know this, yes.
Yes.
Definitely need to know this. Well, I tell you, on next Wednesday, there is a chance it can rain and there's a chance it cannot rain. I definitely think that's a prophecy.
Got a 50-50 shot there, right? So you
Absolutely. So you
remember our conversation when you got back from Florida there, what is it, 4 or 5 weeks ago, about our first cold front and the crickets, you know? Man, it's going to be close.
Okay, when was it again? When was the freeze supposed to happen, or at least a frost?
September 23rd. According to the cold front. 6 weeks from that cold front.
Okay. So listen, as of right now, in the extended forecast, a very strong cold front moves in about Tuesday or Wednesday, so the 21st or the 22nd.
Yeah.
The mornings follow that cold front, there will be 40s in the state and some 50s. So 40s and 50s behind the front, it's just going to come through Tuesday or Wednesday. Either way, that's still pretty close.
That's pretty close. And then the crickets creaking, their mating call. Mm-hmm. And that was next week also. So, man, I don't know. The goddess might stay underground.
Why don't we put all this money into all this computer modeling and satellite imagery if we've already got the crickets here to tell us? That's what I want to know.
Well, we wouldn't have you if we did that, see? And so you got,
I mean, it's pretty fun to align it, though. I like it.
Yeah, it gives us something to do when we got the COVID and we're bored at home.
Well, I'm glad you're back.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm not kidding you. It could have been worse. I know it could have been, but I'm going to tell you, it kicked my butt. Yeah, and Sandy's still not on the up and up yet, but it's, I mean, there's a lot of people got it, a lot of people had it, and they're saying, I had it too, but I'm telling you what, it's the real stuff.
Yeah.
Your whole family almost had, most all your family had it, didn't they?
Oh yeah! I'm telling you. Yep, but everyone's doing better, thankfully, so that's good.
Yeah, and I was using some of the stuff you were so kind to check on me last week, and the majority of the stuff you text me I used. So
well, good.
Yeah, so
anyway. All the, you know, every doctor has a slightly different remedy or, you know, thing that can kind of help, because kind of all you can do is treat your symptoms. And so, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, and so Sandy's got all these monitors and things you put on your hands and your wrist and head and whatever. And anyway, I kept we kept a close check on both her and I's oxygen level. And,
good.
And everything went really, really good. Well, by popular demand from a few weeks ago when you and I talked about hurricanes, will you explain again about hurricanes in the ecosystem? Because I have a question for you after you get done with that explanation.
Okay. So just explain how vital they are and why we have them, essentially.
Yes.
We have, so the Earth is tilted on its axis. That is why we have weather. The way that all forces in the atmosphere and, you know, across the globe work on our planet, everything wants to be equal. All forces want to equal. That's why something that goes up must come down, so on and so forth. The sun comes and heats up the Earth unevenly, simply due to the fact that it's tilted. So the angles reach the Earth differently, and the equator ends up heating up more than the North Pole versus the South Pole. We will always have more heat in the center of the Earth versus the pole. So something has to transfer that energy, and the force that happens through all these different elements weather. Weather happens in the low levels of the atmosphere, and all weather is a transfer of energy. A thunderstorm will transfer energy off the dry line and move it east. A thunderstorm forms on the cold front and helps bring the colder air in. And hurricanes form on the equator and help transfer all that heat with this energy to the north. That's why they move in the northern hemisphere from the tropics up north, most generally. And so a hurricane like Ida has more energy with it than anything we could make man-made, and it transfers that energy north. And the repercussions of not having weather and not having hurricanes, I mean, we don't know, but I don't want to find out what happens to all that energy if it explodes at once and doesn't get transferred in small bouts throughout the day.
Well, trick question for you.
I love your question.
I know you do.
I'll lie if I don't know.
But they, well, because you didn't have to put on makeup to come on the show. How's that?
And I can tell you, I have none on. It's amazing. My dog's laying on my lap, and I'm curled up with a blanket, if I'm being honest.
Where's Brooke?
And Brooklyn's in bed, and I've got the baby monitor right here.
Oh, I got you. So the gentleman here at work, Nathan Brewer, he wants to know what would happen if we didn't have this energy off of the hurricanes.
Right. That's what I mean. Honestly, I do not know. None of us know. I mean, as long as we've been around, we've had weather. So we don't know what would happen if it wasn't distributed in these small increments. I mean, a hurricane is massive and does a lot of damage, but it can, the amount of energy that's in proportional due to the heating around the equator versus the cold air around the poles,
right.
I don't know what would happen if these little bits weren't let off, you know, kind of like a steam engine just letting out steam every now and again versus it builds up and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. I mean, something would give. There'd be some sort of an explosion. I don't know what would trigger it. I don't know what it would look like, but I don't want to find out.
Me neither. But that was the trick question. And he because we were down there in the office a while ago, and he said, you know that deal when you and Lacey were talking about the hurricanes, and she explained more in weather in 5 minutes, and I've learned my whole life. He said, anyways, it was, and I got a lot of responses on the text line on about, you know, we've learned more from Lacey than we have in the Weather Channel in the last 10 years. So anyway, it was all good.
But I think people just assume people know, you know, and drawing that conclusion as to why we have weather in the first place, that's the reason why you can't stop it. I mean, you cannot stop it. It's very important that these things happen.
Right.
It's just unfortunate that they hit populated areas, you know?
Oh, yeah. Nicholas just come through along the coastline. I didn't watch any weather this morning. Did it do some damage? You were watching,
so
I know.
Oh, yeah. It became a Cat 1 right before landfall, so it had winds of 75. There were some 6 to 10-inch rainfall totals, storm surge up to about 5 feet, and that was running from about Freeport, Texas, to Galveston. Houston really dodged it. Houston had, like, 2 to 3 inches of rain. But unfortunately, it's going over to where Ida hit, Louisiana, just a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
And it's going to dump some pretty torrential rain from, like, Houma, Louisiana, down through the marshlands, down to the coast. So
yeah, they haven't even got over that one yet.
There. Right.
They haven't even got over that one, and we're praying for them down there. Hollywood Brooks in bed asleep?
Brooklyn is out. She is out like a light. We always have to have this routine before she'll take a nap. We have to play hide and seek 2 times. And then we have to read a book, and then we have to sing a couple of songs, and then she'll take a nap. And so we did all that, and she's taking a nap.
What kind of music does she like?
Oh, my gosh. We sing all the usual, you know, but she also, I sing Davy Crockett to her all the time. I was obsessed with that show when I was a kid, and so I always loved the theme song, and so we sing that, and it's really cute. She's
You're being followed. I have a lady. Miss mm-hmm. Amber Harrison, she just got in the studio and sat down with us. I don't know, did you see anything on her did you see anything about the state record pumpkin here in the last week or so?
No.
Oh, what? Yeah. Grown right here in Elk City, Oklahoma. And is it still on display down there, or do you guys bring it home?
It's in Claremore right now.
It's in Claremore right now. 1,097 mm-hmm. pounds.
What?
Yeah, it's big. I mean, she had 4 kids on there, and there looked like there was room for me on there, too.
That's crazy. I cannot even imagine.
Wait a minute. I'm going to... let's see. I'm going to send you a picture. All right? Okay. And as soon as I find one, I got one here close. Hang on. Everybody be patient with me. We're doing some investigating reporting.
Everyone.
Yeah, okay. I got Lacey on there. She's good. I'm gonna say.
I tell you what, if you will send me the information from that, if you don't mind, I can show that on our newscast tomorrow morning at 9.
Yeah, I will.
That's really cool. I did see that there was a parade. What was it, the Labor Day parade where the Longhorns were walking down the street in Elk City?
Oh yeah. You didn't hear me?
I was emceeing
that thing.
Are you kidding?
Right before coming down with the COVID. So.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Well, I don't doubt that.
I'm sending this right now. And then I had a listener just text in and said the tarantulas are crossing the road out here, so it's going to rain tonight.
Ooh, tarantula mating season. It always is right before bow season. Usually as I'm out doing a lot of my stalking and spotting, tarantulas are coming out.
I just sent you a picture.
Okay.
And then I will.
That's massive.
Yeah, that's on a pallet. That's let's see, you guys moving around with a skid loader, I guess. Tyler didn't throw that on his shoulder and messing around. Yeah. So anyway, she's got a Facebook page. You'll have to check it out. Oh, check it out that way. Uh-huh. That way you can find your information. It's the Pumpkin Mom.
The Pumpkin Mom. Well, congrats to you. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that thing's huge. Now, the world record is 2,612 pounds or something like that.
Close,
but a 1,000-pound pumpkin, you know how many pies we can make with that?
That's what I was thinking. Oh, man. So what goes into growing a 1,000-pound pumpkin? I mean, that doesn't just happen. You're not just like, oh, man, I got all my little pumpkins.
What yeah, you can't just throw a seed out.
Miracle-Gro.
Well, I never used Miracle-Gro. I use a lot of different things. It just depends on the day, really.
Are you going to let us in on any of your secrets?
Sure. I mean, I don't have any secrets when it comes to growing giant pumpkins. Anybody can have any of the knowledge that I have.
So are there anything that would eat the pumpkin? I feel like my odds would be like a raccoon or something would come up, and I'd come out the next day, and it'd be half gone.
You know, some people in some other giant pumpkin groups I'm on Facebook, they have deer problems, actually. And, you know, deer will come and take bites out of their pumpkins. And, you know, they've had half their pumpkin gone. You know, the next day they'll walk out there and it's, you know, smashed up and everything. And I'm just like, oh, thank goodness. I don't have any deer problems. But, yeah, I'm sure that there's probably other things, too, that'll eat them. Especially when they're little.
Sure.
They're just soft. So.
The squash bugs.
Before it even has a chance to become a record pumpkin.
Yeah, they don't have a shot if they don't get over that.
So what's that one called? So I just saw the picture. It's kind of like a white color. That's not just a regular pumpkin, is it?
Yes, it is an Atlantic giant. Mm-hmm. It's just to see maxima, like you know, any other kind of large pumpkins that you can grow that have the soft stems.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is awesome.
That'd
cool.
feed
That's
a lot of squash bugs, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yeah, that'd feed a lot of squash bugs. But that's what happened to my pumpkins this year in my garden.
Oh, did they?
I slacked, And it didn't take long when I went out there to check, and it's just like, okay, I'm done. There wasn't even no use.
Will your grasshoppers eat pumpkins?
They'll chew on the leaves more so
than the fruit, usually.
Gotcha. I mean,
I'm sure if they're hungry, they'll eat your pumpkin, too.
Yeah.
Jimmy's would eat it.
Yeah. But they, grasshoppers, army worms, squash bugs, I got it going on at my place. So it's, and the army worms are still here, Lacey.
Really?
Yep, they're still here. They're not going away till you bring us in some weather. But I kind of got jumped on a little bit when I said something about a freeze last time you and I talked a few weeks ago.
Oh, yes.
And the peanut farmers weren't happy with me when I started talking about the freeze. But I will let you know, I announced it yesterday, or talked about it yesterday, the peanut crop right now is in the R7 stage. That means that they're starting to mature and become peanuts in those shells.
Okay. And so they can handle a freeze, maybe?
No, let's not go that far. Oh. Yeah. And
okay.
But we're probably, I guess, we're somewhere from 3 to 4 weeks away from being totally mature. So, because usually we...
Oh, they'll be fine.
Yeah, they'll be fine. They start digging the first week or end of the first week, October. And so the cotton bolls are blooming, and we got cotton bolls, and we got army worms, and we got grasshoppers.
Those peanuts, and I know the farmers are going to appreciate it, but those peanuts make something very healthy for the deer.
Oh, yeah.
Very healthy for the deer, and I appreciate that.
Yes, and so we'll save you some peanuts for your deer so you can feed your deer there by your house.
That would be great.
Because
my husband's out working on our food plot as we speak.
Oh, yeah? Well, yep. We got just a few more minutes, but a couple questions to ask you. 16 days. Okay. You know what happens in 16 days?
16 days. Is that October
1st? That's it.
Yes. Archery season.
Yeah, my favorite. I seen you guys have been dove hunting.
We did a little bit. It's hard to do with both one. We took her, and she doesn't like to sit still all that long, but she did good. She did pretty good.
Is she going archery hunting this year?
I would love to take her and sit in the blind. I really would.
What's the holdup?
Well, she likes to talk. I don't know where she gets it, but she talks, and she talks fast, and she talks loud.
I can tell you exactly where she gets it. I can tell you exactly where she gets it. Just watch TV, Channel 9, every morning. So.
We were in the car yesterday. We'd been in the car for about 30 minutes, and my husband looks at me, and he's like, "You realize she has not stopped talking since we left the house?"
At the coffee shop this morning when I stopped in on my way to work, this one older gentleman was in there talking about, you know, "Lacey, I'm so glad she come back from Tulsa," and blah, 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 and they were talking about all this, and I said, "You can listen to her on the show every day, or every Tuesday most of the time on my deal." "Really? How did you get her on there?" And anyway, it was pretty funny to watch his response, but they...
Because I love it.
Well, all these people listening out there, all my listeners, Brooke is she two? Yeah, she's two.
My daughter, yeah, she's two.
Yep, she's two.
Two in August.
Yeah, two in August. I knew she just turned two. So anyway, she will be needing some really good places to hunt, and probably probably next year, because I know for a fact she has a rangefinder. So
she has a very nice rangefinder. Yeah.
And I won't even talk about that story behind that one, but she does have a rangefinder. So, and I know a lot of our area, our big area, listening area we got here, there's some huge deer in this area. And I'm sure someone will give her permission to go out and shoot that 30-point buck.
You know what? If you've got a crop out there and the deer are tearing it up, we are your people. You just let us know. We will do you a favor.
So, anyway. But I seen that you forecast stuff changing next week.
Yes.
And
later tonight. I mean, you'll have a chance of rain tonight.
Yes.
But no, it's not like it's going next week, but at least there's a cold front tonight, and it'll knock some more of the humidity down after it. But along it, there'll be a chance of rain, kind of scattered about. Some areas will pick up a quarter of an inch, a half of an inch, the far northwest, far west. I'm not quite sure how far to the south that front's going to make it with precips. Some data has it stopping Harper County. Some data has it coming all the way down to Harmon County. So
that's quite a distance, you know. That's quite a distance.
Hey, I'm bringing it to I-40. I think the chances stay pretty good to I-40.
Okay, well, we already knew about tonight. I mean, we already knew the tarantulas were crossing the road. So
We already knew. Why do you need me? I totally understand.
Yeah, so the tarantulas crossing the road, and we got rain coming tonight. But next week, that's the one that's bothering me, because the tarantulas cross the road today doesn't mean they will next week.
Well, if you start seeing tarantulas crossing the road next week, someone's got to let me know. I'm telling you, I'm just going to throw all this scientific data out the window.
Yeah. Well, when your boss, Mr. Payne, might start telling you to stay off the radio.
Can you imagine if I get on there? Well, guys, the tarantula crossed the road in front of my car this morning.
I gave you $5 in the morning to do that.
I have no problem doing it.
I knew you would do that. So anyway, well, I'm gonna let you get back at it. You probably need to go out and help with the food plot anyway. And
he's trying to get the sprayer going. So yeah, we'll see.
Are you guys going elk hunting, or is Tyler going elk hunting this year?
Not this year. We miss it. I wish we were, but as of right now, the plan is to wait until next year.
Okay. All right. Yep. Very good. Well, I mean, you guys can drop Brooke off on the way if you need to go.
Yeah, out to New Mexico next year.
Oh, cool.
We're doing it.
All right. Well, have a great day.
You too. Glad you're better.
All right. Thank you. See you later.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye. When I get back, Miss Amber and I are going to talk pumpkins and how she got in the pumpkin business. We're not even going to talk about that big one till last thing, but because there's got to be lots of stories headed up to this big pumpkin. And her father-in-law and her mother-in-law was getting me out of bed with COVID last week and just saying, you gotta go this, talk to Amber about this pumpkin. I already knew about it. We'd already talked. So anyway, it's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offer superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus. The maternal traits and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service. Something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
We truly are a family at First National Bank. When you have a family member that's sick, everyone knows. When something's happened within your family, when you have celebrations, we truly are a family at First National Bank and Trust. We're very proud of the institution that we work for. We're very proud of each other. It is like a family. We call it our bank family. I'm Tammy DeGarmo, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. I forgot to do the weather when I started the show, but who cares about weather when you got the weather lady herself, the weather goddess, Lacey Swopon. So I forgot to do that. It is 86 degrees. Heat index is 88. Dew point 64. Humidity is 48. Winds are out of the south-southwest at 14, gusting to 20. And Miss Amber Harrison, yes. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
A.K.A. Pumpkin Mom.
The Pumpkin Mom.
Pumpkin Mom. Before we get into this giant pumpkin you raised and your tricks, the trade, and how it got so big, I know you had put steroids in it, didn't you?
No, actually.
So, Pumpkin Mom, how'd that come about?
Actually, Tyler came up with that.
Really?
A couple of years ago. So, in 2019, after I grew my first giant pumpkin, there was a lot of people interested in what... you know, how we did it and wanted to see pictures and stuff.
Right.
And so Tyler suggested, well, why don't you just make a Facebook page and, you know, all of the family and friends, you know, whoever wants to see it can go look at it.
Right.
So that's what we kind of started doing. And then it kind of, I don't know, the next year we started adding some videos and it's just kind of gone on from there. I don't update it probably as much as I should.
Well, that's but it's all not. Right. Well, it's a pretty fun page to watch, especially.
Yeah, it's just for fun.
You talk about hitting the mainstream news the last week or so.
I know. I was kind of surprised how that blew up. Yeah. I was.
Well, make sure you watch Lacey's show in the morning because it's going to blow up a little more.
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so.
She's I knew she was into stuff like that. So, anyway, mm-hmm. So do you do this for the fun of it or do you do this for kind of business or both?
You know, there's not a lot of money in growing jump pumpkins. I will say that. Tyler and I laugh because some people have boats and. Some people have, you know, different things that is, you know, money
houses
pit.
In Colorado.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, we just grow giant pumpkins and sit in our yard.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, that's what we do.
He probably learned that from his dad.
Yeah, they like to grow things too. They're very good gardeners as well.
Oh, yeah. Nikki, well, the Harrison family has always been good farmers.
Mm-hmm.
And always, because Nikki and I are same age, and we grew up together. Some good, some of those stories are good, some of them are bad. And so, but no, it was, it's a good thing. So you guys just do it for the fun of it.
Pretty much. Yeah. The kids, though, we really do it for them. They really enjoy, you know, whenever you can see a pumpkin growing 20 or 30 pounds, like from one night to the next, it's just, it's fun.
How long did it take to grow that one?
Well, so I started the plant April the 1st. I put it out April the 8th. And then about 60 days of plant growth, then you set a pumpkin. And then from the pumpkin, like, being pollinated that day, it was another 82 or 3 days until I picked it. So, you know, I said on the news it's a marathon. It really is. It's 130, 40 days, you know, before... you get your results at the end.
Is that the only big pumpkin you got?
You know, I had several others, but they were outside in my garden patch. Right. They weren't in the high tunnel, and it was such strange weather this year.
Oh.
You know, for pumpkins, and we have never had problems, like, with humidity and the coolness until this year. And I don't know, a lot of my pumpkins would get just little brown spots, and it would go rot all the way through, and that's what happened to my two big pumpkins out there too.
So this one was growing. It was grown in the high tunnel.
It was.
Yeah, probably mm-hmm. a smart thing. Yeah, it was. I've got a big garden, and it was weird.
It was weird. You would think that the cooler weather would help everything, but it really didn't this year. I'm not sure what the difference was.
The only thing that I come out with on an A plus in my garden this year was actually the onions, which anybody can grow onions, and then my tomato plants.
Oh, yeah. I haven't watered my tomatoes in a long time, and they're producing. I'm very surprised. But
yeah, they're just... Yeah. But I planted some pumpkins, and I planted some watermelon. I planted some cantaloupe, and this is all outside. And with all these rains, I'm not going to lie to you, the weeds got in my way.
Yeah. We had a weed patch by the end, too. We finally just mowed it all off.
But my tomatoes did great. I mean, I planted my tomatoes early, and we had that last little three-day frost, not freeze.
Really cold spell in April.
Yes.
I had forgotten about that. Yeah, I already had my pumpkin out in the corner of the high tunnel because the high tunnel wasn't finished yet.
Right.
So I had a cattle panel over it, and I had put some heating cables underneath it to heat up the soil for, I don't know, 10 days beforehand. And then over the cattle panel, I had plastic, and I had buried it all the edges. I had a heat lamp in there, and I threw a quilt on top of it.
You had it going on. You was going to save this pumpkin.
I was going to save it. I have my thermometer in there, and I woke up two or three times those two or three cold nights, and I would look at it and make sure, because I had an extension cord running off our porch over there to the, you know, the cables kind and the heat lamp. Yeah. Just a little. You know, some people are like, oh, yeah, I've got all this stuff on my smartphone where I can, like, look at the temperature, and I can turn on my sprinkler, and I'm just like, I don't have that. I just set timers on my phone, so I remember.
So what's the ground temperature got to be for the pumpkin? Same as corn or anything, 62, 65?
Yeah, they might get a little bit warm. I'm thinking it's 70 to 72. So,
yeah, I guess pumpkins and watermelons. Yeah,
pumpkins
and stuff
are a little bit cooler. Watermelons really like it hot, though.
Well, yeah, so anyway, but there was, that's a big pumpkin. So what's the plans for it? Are you guys going to bronze it since it's a state record?
No, actually, it's already got a soft spot underneath. The guy up at Claremore that has it right now, he's like, you know, Amber, that spot that was discolored that you were really worried about going bad? He's like, I think it's gone bad. But, you know, they're just kind of like setting a cucumber out on your countertop. They're just not really thick skin. They're not really hard.
Right.
You know, because they have to grow so quickly. So they're really soft on the outside. You can scratch them pretty easily with your fingernail. So anyway, they just don't last, you know, a really long time.
And so are your goals next year to grow one bigger?
You know, I'm not thinking I'm going to grow next year, actually. Huh? We're going to take a year off and take a vacation.
Oh, I got you. That's
So, you know, all summer, I mean, I think we've gone maybe to Stillwater twice, and it was only like one afternoon to the next morning to visit my aunt, and that was pretty much it all summer because, you know, in the summertime, you're having to take care of that. And, like, just my watering on that giant pumpkin, I would go out about 1 o'clock, sometimes 12:30, depending on the day. Yeah, because as soon as my thermometer would hit about 95 in the high tunnel, I would go turn on the sprinkler, and I would leave it on for between 20 and 26 minutes, and then it took about 12 minutes for the temperature to drop to about 80, and then I would turn it off, I'd wait an hour or two, and then I would move the sprinkler to another part of the plant. I mean, you're trying to cool the entire plant, and you're trying to cool off your pumpkin. So,
Why don't you take it out there under Nikki's pivot?
Well, I mean, I can't move the whole high tunnel under there. That would be nice. You know, I'm thinking that's another reason I was thinking I might take next year off. I might try to think of, like, a better sprinkler system. Yeah. But, you know, I did move it around. There are 6 or 8 places that I would move it to. So it would never be in the same exact spot every time I watered.
That pumpkin's a lot of trouble, but look,
it is a lot of trouble.
What record did you break?
The state record was 893 pounds.
893? Okay. Mm-hmm.
I beat it by 204 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It is. You know, I told my kids at the beginning of the spring, I said, hey guys, let's see if we can get a pumpkin to 1,000 pounds. Like, that was my goal. And, I said, let's see if we can get it to 1,000 pounds, or we're going to try and bust it. Like, that was the goal this year, because sometimes they can grow so fast. Yeah, that's true. Sometimes they can split on the blossom end wherever they're pollinated, because that's the thinnest part.
Right.
So.
And that, because I've seen some pictures of you had something, a piece of styrofoam or foam or something in there to keep in the stem.
One morning, I think it was July or August. I can't even remember now what day that was. But I was going out, I was walking past the high tunnel, we were going out to feed our bottle calves, and I looked at it and I was like, something looks a little off. So we went and fed the calves and went back in there. There was a kink in the vine. And anyway, it had shifted the vines just enough that I noticed it. And so I was looking at it and I was like, oh no, because I knew what I had to do was pull that 900-pound pumpkin back and pull the kink out of the vine. And so I had my father-in-law show up with some test traps and a winch, and we hooked it up to the side of the high tunnel, and we pulled it back a little bit. And then whenever Tyler got home from work that evening, we went ahead and moved it just a little bit more and got it out. So,
wow.
I mean, but you know, if I had left the kink in there, it probably would have picked itself, because, like, it would have pulled on, like, created enough tension that it wouldn't have kept growing. So it probably would have stopped growing, and then it probably would have started rotting, and I'd have to immediately, you know, take it to a way off, which there wasn't one at the time, or, you know, just let it hang out, and it would lose weight. So
You had the record then anyway, right? 900 pounds?
Yeah, but yeah, so...
You wanted to
So there are some people... Yeah, I did kind of want to bust it, but, you know, there are some people that are like, why did she take it, you know, up there to Washington County? Yeah, right. To Dewey. So the deal is, it was their county fair, but this is a separate event at their county fair.
Okay.
So... The Great Pumpkin Commonwealth actually has it where you can register your weigh off site and you have a certified scale. And so that was the deal. You had to take your pumpkin to a weigh off site with a certified scale that was registered, you know, with the Great Pumpkin Commonwealth. And that was what Dewey was. Usually they don't have, you know, the 1,000-pound pumpkins at Dewey. Usually, I mean, people don't usually show up with great big ones. Yeah, they have several growers up there around Tulsa that will usually take a couple hundred-pound pumpkins up there,
right.
You know, for the Commonwealth that, you know, get weighed, and then they have a registered weight. So you can go on the Big Pumpkins website. Exactly. They have a website, you know, with all the stats, and, you know, they can get their names on their register, basically. So.
Well, that's crazy, and congratulations mm-hmm. to you and the kids.
Well, thank you.
Tyler had nothing to do with this, I know.
No, he really didn't.
He was on the golf course.
And he will tell you that. He's like, well, she kind of just does it. It's not really anything that I do. Although he was very helpful sometimes.
Oh, it sounded like the brother-in-law yeah. helped you out some, too.
Oh, no, the father-in-law.
Our father-in-law.
Yeah, Nikki.
Nikki, mm-hmm. I got you. So, yeah. Anyway, well, thanks for coming in,
uh-huh.
and congratulations again.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
Can't wait for you to... Not next year, you're going on vacation, but the year after,
yeah.
let's
well,
do a 12 or 1,300 pounder.
You know, that's what we were kind of thinking. That might be our goal. And next year, we might just try some watermelons. I think the state record is just 250-something pounds.
Huh?
It used to be the world record in Oklahoma.
Really?
Yeah. So Oklahoma has the weather for giant watermelons.
Oh, go for it.
Yeah, we're going to try. We'll see what happens.
Then you're going to bring it in here. We're going to feast.
Yeah. Well, we did grow some giant watermelons. They're pretty good this year. So.
Oh, good. Anyway, well, again, yeah. thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, I'll be right back with your Long Ranger weather forecast. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, September 13th. 1,371 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 378 brought 196. 21 at 609 brought 158.50. 10 at 679 brought 148. 120 at 863 brought 144. 6 at 1109 brought 115. 14 head of heifers at 438 brought 150. 41 at 630 brought 136.50. 9 at 682 brought 119.50. 3 at 785 brought 126. 3 at 940 brought 110. Butcher cows were 19 to 74. Bred cows 800 to 1100. Butcher bulls brought 65 to 95. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, I-40, exit 71 in Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Woo! That was fun. I had Lacey Swope on today. I had Amber Harrison on talking about her giant, and I'm talking giant pumpkin, new state record, 1,097 pounds, and she's already got her eyes set on state record watermelon. I can't wait. It's going to be fun in Western Oklahoma in the next year or two with all these state records being broke. But anyway, it's 86 degrees. I'm going to make sure that it updated. I seen it update. Nope, 87 degrees. Heat index at 89. Dew point 64, humidity is 46, winds are south-southwest 12 miles an hour, and the gusts are 18 miles an hour. Our long ranger is because the tarantula, according to K-Bar over there at Canute, crossed the road a while ago. We're going to get rain tonight, according to the weather. Mezzanette, we're got a 20% chance. 89 for a high tomorrow. Thursday, 92 degrees. Friday, 97. Saturday, 97. I don't know if you guys were listening to Lacey earlier, but next Wednesday, hoodie and fire pit time, baby. 60s, 50s, 40s, snow in Colorado and upper mountains. Be careful if you're going up there hunting next week. Be prepared for the elements because it can change overnight in the mountains. And it's I've been there, and it can get crazy in a hurry. But we got coming up on September 29th from 7:30 in the morning till 11:30 a.m., there's going to be OSU Ag Research and OSU Extension are going to have a field day at the Marvin Clemmy Range up there at Bessie. And if you guys are interested in doing that, it looks like they got all kinds of things going on. 7:30 registration, 8:15 welcome, 8:30 the station history and the project overview they're going to be talking about. The NEON presentations, which the NEON presentation is the National Ecological Observatory Network, and they got supplement research going on out there, patch burn and grazing distribution, old world bluestem and wildlife, and a hay storage demonstration. So it's going to be fun, and I'm going to try to get out there and get as most of it done as, or participate in most of it that I can before I kind of come back to the station. But if any of you guys got any questions at all, you can contact Marty New, who's the area livestock specialist, and you can email these people if you want to. Probably be easiest, marty.new@okstate.edu. Paul Beck, who I had on the show a couple weeks ago, he's an extension livestock specialist from OSU. He's a professor. He doesn't like being called professor, but I'm going to call him professor. And he's at paul.beck@okstate.edu. And then Mr. Zach Henderson, extension educator from right over here in Sayre, and he does Washita County too. So you can contact Zach at the extension office here, or he's got his number here, 580-832-3356. And when I come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit of about some cows, cattle, and I got a stupid story to share with you. So it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All righty, I'm back. I'm glad you guys are listening today. I've been getting lots of texts, and because I know yesterday you knew I was hurting here on the station, but I got through it. I'm back today. I'm back to not 100%, but I feel a lot better in my throat than yesterday. Weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. It's 87 degrees right now. Wind southwest 12, gusting up to 18. Chance of rain tonight, 20%. Tomorrow's high, whooping cold, 89 degrees. Thursday, 92. Friday, 97. And Saturday, 97. Well, here's the stupid story of the day. I got this email, and you guys laugh, shake your head, do whatever you want with this story, but I'm telling you, don't blow it off, because the way things are going around the United States nowadays, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody wouldn't, especially maybe AOC, try to do this. It's the Netherlands are wanting to cut livestock herd by millions. It's all about reducing pollution. Every country has to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. That's a given. But how it does it depends on each one with different strategies in place. For the Netherlands, fewer emissions mean less livestock with a new government plan. Now being considered, that would be force most farmers to reduce the size of the cattle. The story's no joke. I mean, this is the real thing. Back in 2019, the Dutch government was forced by the Supreme Court in the Hague to reduce its emissions even further. Following a 7-year legal battle with groups environmental NGOs, the government accepted the ruling and started thinking of ways to increase climate adaptation, from cutting coal power now to reducing livestock. Livestock production brings several environmental and public health effects. At the global level, it contributes to greenhouse gas emissions and the overuse of finite resources such as land and water. Locally, it contributes to the nutrient surpluses affecting soil and water quality, as well as causing toxic effects on pesticide application. The government of the agriculture and finance ministries have drafted a proposal to cut down livestock numbers by 30%, something that's been unseen so far in Europe. The two scenarios were proposed. The government could either buy livestock production rights, or instead of force farmers to sell their land, which would be much more expensive. The new move comes after a previous volunteering plan to buy the land from pig farmers, but only 300 accepted the offer. So now the government's decided to step up its game. Here's plan number two, or plan B. An official decision is expected in a few weeks and has already caused a big repercussion, with NGOs celebrating the move and beef producers complaining. It's a step in the right direction. We would do more buying out farmers and helping them transition to sustainable agriculture. The nitrogen crisis is very severe in the Netherlands, but there's also very high nitrogen deposit in Germany and Belgium, for example. Meanwhile, their head of public affairs for the Netherlands Agriculture and Horticulture Organization questioned the move, claiming it's a bad idea. They have instead proposed a voluntary farm relocation or closure. It would take 7 years to do it. Greenhouse emissions from the agriculture account for 14.5% of all human emissions, with beef contributing to 41%, and they are set to grow to the future, with beef demand expected to rise by 88% between 2010 and 2050. With this in mind, the plan by the Dutch government could bring a local solution, but not necessarily a global one. Well, greenhouse gases and percentage in the United States which we're the big boys, and when it comes to cattle, is a little over 2%. And if you add in the trucking and all that other stuff, emissions from fumes from trucking and stuff, we're still well below 4% with the trucking involved in this deal. But this is stupid. This is the craziest thing. I mean, I haven't been that way on the radio since it started, but when you start buying out farmers to go cut back on the greenhouse emissions and cutting back on beef production and all this other stuff, you know what that means. That means they're wanting to go to plant-raised, manufactured beefs and all that good stuff, and it's a bunch of crap. But anyway, so speaking of that, with that fire at that processing plant in Grand Island, Nebraska, and if you hadn't heard, Tyson Foods got they had a glitch in their computer system yesterday, and according to Mr. Brandon Hickey with our deal, he shows me his numbers from the sale from Elk City. And Elk City last Friday, he had 1,617 head. And looked like the market was up a little bit there. Wheeler, they had 455-pound steers, bringing a 197.50, which is really good. Shamrock, they had, or Cheyenne, they had some 639-pound steers, bringing $1.51. Shamrock, we had some 412-pound heifers, bringing $1.47. Cheyenne had some 541 pounders bringing $1.39, and butcher bulls were bringing up to $1. Butcher cows were bringing up to 85, and had some pairs that brought up to 1250, and bred cows that were bringing up to 1400, and that was at Elk City. Well, at Clinton yesterday, they had 1371 head. And we got some from Willow, weighing 472 steers, bringing $1.78, slightly down from Friday. And then they had some 120 head, 863 head. And he told me that everything was higher at Elk City last week, but it was cheaper yesterday at Clinton because it was slightly down yesterday at Clinton just because of the JBS fire. So anyway, so been a great day, and you guys be careful out there. Have a great day. God bless. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
You've got it locked on Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle's home for today's best country. Number one rated, 96.5 KECO Elk City.
Crunching the numbers, Lisa Brady, Fox News. House Democrats putting the finishing touches on tax hikes for the wealthiest individuals and corporations to help pay for sweeping new investments in social spending as Republicans warn against it. Fox's Jared Halpern on Capitol Hill.
House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Democrat Richard Neal says success should be celebrated.
We can also ask the biggest companies.